The Scrabble Go Guide to Learning New Words. Quizzical, your dad's face when he hasn't got enough vowels. Skeptical, your mom's face when you try to say small is a word. Belligerent, how your brother feels when he doesn't win. Vocabulary, what you all build when you play Scrabble Go together. Everyone's a winner with Scrabble Go, the fun brain training game you can play with family and friends wherever you are. Available on Android and iOS. Download Scrabble Go today.
It's Monday.
Shh, be very, very quiet. It's Ginny. She's in her natural habitat. Yes, she's with someone, but who is she with? All we know for sure, it's Monday, and she's drinking a mocha. It must be Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
Dr. Chris Zeno, you're the second doctor I've actually had on Monday Mocha, so I'm pretty excited that, you know, I'm rolling now with all the smart people who are much better at anatomy than I am. So, Dr. Chris, tell me, do you drink coffee?
I actually do not drink coffee or caffeine, and it's because I stopped drinking any stimulants or anything about 15 years ago, because I actually beat a terminal illness, and you know, after that, I always wanted to really know the state of my body. So if I was tired, I wanted to know I was tired, right? So I eliminated all stimulants from my life, anything of sort, just so I was able to listen to my body a lot better.
Wow. You said that you went through a terminal illness. Do you mind expanding on that as much as you want to?
Yeah. You know, it's a perfect example of health is not how you look or how you feel necessarily at all. I had one Mr. America at 21. I was a writer for online magazines and print magazines. I trained the Orlando Magic in Orlando, Florida, and Universal Studios when people did Xena and all those cool shows there. And married my wife at 26. And a couple months into our marriage, I just started going to the bathroom a lot, and it never stopped. I started bleeding every time I went to the bathroom, and I hit it. You know, my wife thought I was dieting down or something, and it got to the point where I couldn't even hold my bowels anymore, and I'm bleeding, losing weight. I went from 230 pounds to 158 pounds, and I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. And they said it's an incurable terminal disease, and I was actually a week and a half away from getting surgery to get my entire colon removed, and that took me on the journey of going into my second act, which is someone told me, hey, listen, you got to go see my doctor. He's a corrective care spinal specialist, a chiropractor. And that was the most absurd thing in my life to hear. But I said I tried everything. He goes, no, you didn't. He goes, if you tried everything, you would have had your result. So that's when I really started to learn about the anatomy of the body, how the nervous system and spine control organs. And in 7 months, my body healed itself from a terminal incurable disease. And that started me on my journey. Then I went to school, became a chiropractor, got my doctorate there. And we became the largest clinic in the world just by sharing my story because, you know, I went through it. And when I work with anybody, you know, their congruency level, like if they have to have a story of at least going through it or being a part of it. And so that story and actually going through it and having my life change and be able to have, a wonderful marriage and take care of, have two kids I was told I would never have. And my whole life changed because I didn't listen to the status quo and I kept on looking for a bigger and better way.
You know, it's fascinating, Chris, because I think about this and I hear this all the time that you're in probably the top five, maybe even lower percentile of the world's population that don't listen to the status quo and push on. And there's only a very small percentage of the world's population that do that. But those who do are guaranteed a very high level of success. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. 100%. And because that's really the status quo is what I call the secret identity. That's like kind of my new hero thing where the status quo, we're told what to do and what to think. And we're institutionalized not just by school, but by religion and by our parents and what our parents' belief system were, and by media and everything. We're trained to become mediocre. And we're told to look at our passions and stay safe. And we're never told to take the risk and really see who we really are. And I think so many times you hit your mid-20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, and you look in the mirror and you don't even realize or even know who you are because all you did was live out the values of other people. in your life. You know, I'm doing this because my mom wanted me to. I'm doing this because my peers wanted me to. Or I'm doing this because, you know, it would be acceptable in my culture. And really, you never had the time to say, well, who am I and what was I created to express in my life, whatever that may be, and have pride and be proud of that and go on the journey of who you were always created to be. And I think that's what causes this so-called midlife crisis or crisis in life. It's because people realize, I checked off everything. I got the degree. I got the money. I got this. I got that. I checked it all off. But how come I still feel empty, unfulfilled? How come I'm grieving my potential? And it's because you never lived your life. You lived somebody else's life.
That's so true. Because I think what you just mentioned there, touching on that you kind of do things to impress your parents or you do things because you're told to do them, you are kind of tricked into this false sense of, oh, I'm going to be living an awesome life, but really it is mediocre. It's just really interesting too, because I think a lot of the university degrees or the college degrees, as you call them in America, they're pretty much obtained because your parents expect you to. But the aftermath of that is you're in debt for the next 10, 20, sometimes 30 years of your life. And to achieve things like the house or a car, some people, it's not affordable. And I think that's going to be a huge problem in the next 10, 15 years that we're going to have to address.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I agree. And what's crazy is people will spend money to go to school. They'll spend money on a credit card to get something that they probably don't need or shouldn't even be able to afford. They get a mortgage, they get a car loan. But when it comes to their purpose or something we're created to do, then they're scared about investing in themselves. Where that's just another form of tuition that actually will create return. Like, look, if you didn't take the time to invest the time and the effort and the equipment to learn about what you're doing right now, look at the impact you're doing now.
It's also thanks to, you know, not listening to people and listening to some people.
but the most important person you listen to is yourself.
Absolutely. I think with me, one thing that I've found with my life is, even though I've been told one thing and I'm from a very conventional background, intuitively, I've always felt different. So learning to like kind of mute all that white noise and go with my gut has been kind of something I'm still refining. But when you do, you know, there's absolutely, it gets very quiet when you start doing that in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I say that I believe you just stayed more childlike. That was the key. Because when you're a child, just think, when we were growing up, we were playful. We had imaginations. We were creative. We lived in what I call vertical time. We were in the now. We didn't worry about past or future. We were relentless. We were obsessive. We were, you know, we questioned limitations. We always asked why. We were curious. You know, all those things as a kid, you know, and those kids, you know, I have two kids, they never went to a conference or a seminar. They never read a book on personal development. And it proves that we were all innately born with those unique gifts and talents. And something happened between that time and now that imprisoned that true childlike hero, like I like to say. And I just think, you know, a lot of people are entrepreneurs. I just see that they stay in touch with that. They're not really persuaded, or they're always like, well, you know, they always have that inner drive to follow their heart. And I think you never go wrong with that.
Absolutely. No, I totally agree with you. I think your inner child is also, if you're looking at it in a spiritual sense too, it's the part of you that's actually really, in a sense, it's the part of you that's really aligned with your intuition and what you want. And I think something really interesting about what you just raised there too is, yes, when you are a child, you're the most present. You want to create, you want to have fun, you want to actually enjoy life more, and you don't really care about the responsibilities and stuff that you have going on. You don't really let that get you bogged down. And speaking of this is kind of an inspirational conversation. So I'm going to ask you a question that I ask a lot of my guests. Who are the five closest people in your life? And give me one word to describe them.
The five closest people in my life. Well, it's going to be my wife. It's going to be my two boys. And I would, and really it's the, I would definitely say it was my patients a lot, but I have two very good mentors in my life that I talk to that are dear friends. But the craziest thing is I would think the five most influential people in my life are all dead people. Meaning that, you know, with YouTube and books and even, like you said, audio today, I could listen to people that are amazing thinkers and philosophers that are long gone, but their words are still living and active through video or audio or books. And so even though they're not alive, I'm still learning, and or let's say their words and their philosophies are still living and active. So I always have, I tell people, dead or alive, I always have great people around me.
Wow, that's fantastic, because I find that, you know, the five closest people in anyone's life is very reflective of who they are. And I'm assuming the five people who are not alive that you are influenced by so greatly are pretty impactful people.
Yeah, see anybody you would, you know, like, and it changes. I become a student. You know, if I hear an interview of someone, or it's amazing, and I think life and the universe brings it to you, you know, it's amazing. Like there'll be information that's been around for 50 years. Either I never heard of it or I wasn't ready for it. And then it crossed my path in exactly the time I needed to hear it. And then, you know, if I do hear it and it's wonderful, I become a student. So maybe I'll buy all their books, or maybe I'll get their audios. And I kind of immerse myself in that person and almost become like a student, make it like a 2 or 3 month course and really get to see the way they think. So whether it could be a Napoleon Hill, it could be like, you know, a Gary Vaynerchuk, it could be just living, dead, doesn't matter. But I become a student of these people, and not just skim through their book, but, you know, I really get into their mind through what they write, through what they say. And I kind of get the essence of what's on the inside, you know, of them and how they think and how they act. And it really becomes tremendously beneficial. So I actually look to be a student of those people. And I realized that, you know, I could, even though I never met Napoleon Hill, he was dead long before we were alive, but I could listen to audios, read his books, and he's speaking to me. And his words are relevant in my life at this time. So I really think the books we pick up or the interviews we hear, when you hear something, you're like, oh my God, that was exactly what I needed to hear today. I see there is zero coincidence with that. It just, I really think life is that, you know, when you're receptive to something, or you have a problem, every time there's a problem in your life, there's an automatic solution that arises as well. And I really think that's the beauty of life and the universe. It's providing you those answers from people, interviews, audio. It's like, it's always talking to you. You just need to be receptive enough to be able to hear, see, or be able to, you know, be receptive to that knowledge and wisdom.
Absolutely, Chris. And can you tell me, what's your morning practice? What's the first thing, like, what are the first few things you do when you wake up?
Right. Awesome. So I wake up around 5, and the first thing I get up, I wake up at 5, and then I have a whole detoxification protocol. I have an infrared sauna. I go in there, and in the infrared sauna, that's when I'll do my reading, or sometimes I'll do some detox protocols. I do, you know, oxygen, they get ozone and all this other stuff I do just for oxygen therapy, just to oxygenate the cells. And maybe I'll do some exercise. Sometimes I do cardio if I'm trying to diet down or something like that. But I have that. But those, that morning time when everybody is asleep is the time. That's when I always have either a pen and pad, or I have my phone with me to take down notes. And I would say I do that for a good 2 hours. And in that time, I get all my good, I call them innate thought flashes, you know, all those great ideas. Wouldn't it be cool? Wouldn't this be cool? Because when you start the day, you have all the mundane minutiae, all this decision fatigue starts to kick in. But in the morning, it's so fresh, and you really have a clear pathway of these just great ideas. And I just write those ideas down. I kind of just become like a kid in the morning and do have my personal time. And without that personal time, that is the thing that sets the day and the direction of the day. So that brings me to true north every single morning. And then from there, I'll get some exercise in. So every day, and even in the middle of the day, I'll probably exercise if I'm working in the morning, because I'm always making sure that I'm taking care of myself. I try to do this as much as I work. So if I work 5-6 hours a day, I try to spend the equal amount of time working on myself. So, and that could be listening to a podcast, that could be reading a book, that could be spending time with the family. But I try to do, if I'm going to pour into people for 6 hours a day, I need to do something to recharge me at least 6 hours a day. You know, when you look at Anthony Robbins and all these great, powerful people, their personal routines, private routines, we're talking hours per day. So they take hours to be able to peak perform for 2 hours. They might take 5 to peak for 2, or 50-50. So I realized how important it was to get in a rhythm and a ritual of taking care of you. So I love that Jim Rohn quote. He goes, take care of you for me, and I'll take care of me for you. And so this is where I think in society we're so told, you know, we've got to take care of everybody else and we're serving everybody else, but we never really take the time for us, especially a mother. You know, I dealing with 16,000 patients, the biggest depression I've seen in women was when they relied that they had this false identity that they were, their purpose on earth was for somebody else, whether it be a spouse or kids, meaning that my job is to raise kids. Your purpose isn't solely to raise kids, because when the kids go to college, then they lost their identity. They're like, what do I do? And they get super depressed. So really, this is why I love this show. It's like, where it's like finding that, you know, you could, it's part of your life. It's part of the experience of life, having children and stuff like this, but that's not your identity. You know, your identity is, what is that calling? What is your message? And if you lose focus of that, you really become lost. And it is such a lie that you're lost, but it was there the whole time. So it is a very difficult thing. So, I mean, really taking the time for yourself, and you could call it being selfishly unselfish, whatever you want to call it. But it is so important to be able to give your best to other people.
Wow. Well, Chris, you've dropped so many nuggets there, but I'm going to kind of move on to a bit. So, Chris, what I ask all of my guests is, do you take the phone to the bathroom with you?
Of course I do. In fact, let me tell you what I just ordered. I ordered a thing online because we just bought a new house. It doesn't have toilet bowl things in the wall or toilet paper things. So I bought one that holds toilet paper and it has a stand on top of it for your phone.
Oh, wow. Talk about a modernized bathroom.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that badass? It's just like, so I could set my phone right there and then it has the toilet paper and then it holds the spare ones below it.
Was the intention behind this invention for the phone, or was it designed for something else?
No, it's totally for the phone. It's like, so you could actually like sit on the toilet and have your phone there, otherwise you'll be like my mom. She lost 3 phones in the toilet so far. So I, you know, this is perfect. You set it right there. It even has a space where you could charge it and you could listen to your podcasts.
Well, you know, if you do go into the bathroom and you listen to the Ginny Show or Monday Mocha, I will forgive you. It's my goal to get into toilets all around the world. There you go.
Oh, absolutely. I'm with you. Yeah. So, yeah, check that out.
Fantastic. Well, Chris, a few more questions to go. One of the things I like to ask some of my guests is, do they have any kind of meditation or spiritual practice that they do? Or do you incorporate that into your morning routine?
Yeah, absolutely. My morning routine. My meditation is the quiet time. Because that's before the day gets started, because that's when I could really be receptive.
Well, Chris, tell me this. One thing that I find really fascinating about just the conversation that we had is you're really kind of painting fear, and I guess that threshold we have to cross to get into the unknown, as a place of that's inspiring, that's where the magic carpet ride is. What advice would you have to anyone who is kind of having, let's say, a bit of resistance to crossing over to that, to, you know, finding out what the unknown is because they're scared? Like, what sort of advice would you have for them?
This is Kat.
And Nat from the Mom Truth Podcast.
Does your little one love Paw Patrol?
What about dinosaurs?
Well, the new season of Paw Patrol is here, and guess what?
It's a dino rescue. I can't wait for my kid to watch each episode 10 times a night.
All of your holiday and birthday gift shopping is pretty much done because, of course, there are a whole new batch of dino rescue toys. And for a limited time at Target, get 15% off the new Paw Patrol dino rescue toys with the code PAW15. Check it out. It's gonna be possum.
Oh, 100%. Well, that's the thing. When you look back in your life and see that all these unknowns that have happened for you to be where you are right now, it proves that you couldn't have planned it anyway. Like, you know, when I met my wife, like my school lost its accreditation. I lost all this money in school. Then I went to Dallas, Texas, where I never would have went. And 3 weeks later, I meet my wife. So it's like all this stuff could have never been planned. So when you look back in your life, be like, you know what? I really didn't have control over a lot of this. Like a lot of this stuff was just these unknowns, these beautiful things that were arranged out of my control. And then you start to have a little bit of faith of that and just start moving forward. But you definitely got to move forward. And I call it course correct. Move forward and allow and course correct on the journey. Because you could either stay in the comfort and the torment of that secret identity, meaning that you don't move and you just have a bunch of dreams and inspirations that die with you. Or you could feel excited and, you know, exhilarated again by taking that step, taking that leap and enjoying and enjoying the process and the learning process, the contrast. That's what people are, there's no bad thing. There's no failure. It's called contrast. What we consider failure is what we don't want, right? So if I do something, I'm like, I didn't like that. It wasn't a failure. It just let me know what I do want. So bumps in the road just really steer us towards what we do want. It focuses our vision exactly where we want to be. So the journey and the unknown, it's all in the unknown. Everything is in the unknown. So when you could just, when that little switch triggers in your mind going, well, wait a second, it's always been the unknown. That's where my whole entire life was birthed from, was the unknown. Then when you realize that certainty doesn't make you grow, that's an illusion. It's we're always expanding and we're always creating, then you just do it. But one thing is, like, you know, when I never want to know what the feeling of regret feels like. I just don't want to grow old and be like, I think regret is horrible. We don't have time machines. And so that's a big motivator for me. So there's no wrong in moving forward. I love the unknown. So if I go to a seminar, if I walk out, it's like every day I wake up going, what are the unknowns that are going to happen today? And I keep track of them. Like, I write them down each day, because that's the thing. When you're aware that these unknowns happen all the time, and that's exactly where it got me today, then you're not afraid of them. You actually look for them. So you know what? It makes life so much fun.
I was just about to say, I was watching one of your video clips on Instagram yesterday, and it's funny because I had a conversation with my friend just about the exact same thing before I watched the video clip of you. And you were saying stuff like, you have to bet on yourself. And a friend of mine is actually a really good friend of mine here in New York. She's contemplating whether to leave her full-time job to go into freelancing. And she got some advice saying, you know, there's nothing better than betting on yourself, because you are in control of everything and you can determine where the money goes. And, you know, you're not working on someone else's dream. You're working on your own dream. And it's some really good advice that you gave there on Instagram. Can you expand on that here too?
Absolutely. You know, when you make the decision to go all in and have enough faith, confidence, belief in your message and what you want to do, and you put all the chips, there's no exit strategy. You put all the chips in on you and bet on yourself. That's when everything happens. That's where the magic happens right there. Because if anything, I tell people, you might not see the monetization right away, but the happiness factor is there. The fulfillment factor is there. And let me tell you, I would rather bet on myself and be happy than to be just the fact that just to be like I'm dying on the inside, but I have great benefits. And it's so exciting. It's just such an exciting thing to do. So it's going all in on yourself, because when you go on in yourself, what that also means is that when you do make that step, you're going to make it work no matter what. See, we have to bring ourselves, the worst thing of all is to have a nice, good job, because when things are good, it prevents you from becoming really great. So how do I make that step on my life, go make that leap without easily just saying, oh, I could just go back to my comfortable thing I was doing, right? Everything was great. I don't have to ruffle the waters. But when I eliminate, when I take away exit strategies, then you become resourceful. So if there's no exit strategy, and I only have one option to do, like plan A, there's no plan B is follow plan A. Like, I have no other option to do. So when you have no other option but moving forward and you bet in on yourself, all of a sudden you become extremely resourceful. You don't give up because you're like, I can't. I only got one way to go. And so you think of new ideas. You think of ways. I call it the Houdini effect. Like Harry Houdini, he was known for escaping things you couldn't escape. And, you know, that's what it is. You put yourself in a situation where it really, it's amazing. It really fully expresses the human capability and the spirit of the human to think of things and create things and see how things come into your life, just because you don't have that one foot in the door, one foot out of the door. There is no door. There's only one way to go, and that's forward. And every time you hear stories of successful people where they have absolutely no direction to go but forward, that is when they have tremendous success, because there was no other option. There was no trying. They can't try. They have to make it work. It has to come forward. They have to think of creative ways. And I think it really creates resourcefulness. And the human resource of the mind is so amazing, of the ideas that come up with it. Just think of all the things that were, you know, someone thought about every piece of equipment we're using right now, and they became resourceful to build it. When you look at your phone, it's like, there's things that happen on your phone that were, it was never done before. But if you could think about it, you know, there's a way it could be done. So the only way you could get yourself in that situation is take away all their options and bet and go all in on yourself.
Absolutely. Well, Dr. Chris Zeno, you've been an absolute inspiration, and I know you're going to be, even though you don't drink coffee, I'm sure people who are listening to Monday Mocha are going to feel like they've just had a huge cup of energy to get them through their week. So thank you so much for your time.
Well, I appreciate you. Thanks for this time, and hopefully this gave value to everybody out there.
Monday Mocha with Ginny Sarasvati.
This is Kat.
And Nat from the Mom Truth Podcast.
Does your little one love Paw Patrol?
What about dinosaurs?
Well, the new season of Paw Patrol is here, and guess what?
It's a dino rescue. I can't wait for my kid to watch each episode 10 times a night.
All of your holiday and birthday gift shopping is pretty much done because, of course, there are a whole new batch of dino rescue toys. And for a limited time at Target, get 15% off the new Paw Patrol dino rescue toys with the code PAW15. Check it out. It's gonna be pawsome.